Now, is enough being done to protect prisoners in jails here in Northern Ireland? You can understand the family of David O'Driscoll believing that enough is not being done. Mr. O'Driscoll died on the 12th of August 2016 at McGabbery Prison when he was found hanged in the prison cell, and he was in the prison's committal house. It was 7 hours after arriving at the prison on the same day. But there's more to the story than what I've just told you. And I want to speak to the Interim Prisoner Ombudsman, Brendan McGuigan. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Just give us the potted background to this, especially the telephone calls that David made before he ended his own life.
Well, firstly, Frank, if I could take this opportunity to express my sincere condolences to Mrs. O'Driscoll and the wider family for the tragic loss of David. The reality of this case was that David had obviously offended while out in the community, and judges were left with a very difficult decision in terms of protecting the public. The reality of it was that there were, I believe, opportunities to identify that actually David also needed to be protected from himself. And right from his appearance in court through to the time that he's sent to the committal house, I believe that there were opportunities, information should have been passed more comprehensively and more effectively between the different members of staff that handled him through that process. That would have given them some clues to his state of mind. But I think the most concerning part was that when he phoned home, and obviously the phone call didn't go well, he indicated to the family that that there was a suicidal ideation. On hearing this, his mother phoned the prison and expressed her significant concerns because of his mental health issues, the fact that he did have drug and alcohol issues as well. And she was significantly concerned about his state of mind at that stage. That what the investigation shows was that rather than checking out with David and asking him directly the question, that staff really relied on his noted behaviour and a familiarity with David, he had been in prison before, that really dictated the response to the mother, which basically said, look, he's going to be fine and we're going to do a number of things to keep an eye on him here. And that was the response that she got, which certainly allayed her fears at that stage, only then to receive a subsequent telephone call to say that he had died.
So did anyone go into the cell or into the room to talk to him? Did they go in and ask him any questions about how he felt?
No, not when he was on the committal landing. Nobody inquired about how he was. I think it was just on the basis of other conversations with him during that time that he seemed normal, that there was nothing that gave them clues that he was considering suicide. However, I do believe that there was an opportunity when Mrs. O'Driscoll phoned the prison, conveyed her concerns. I believe that there should have been a more effective response by the prison service.
Is that not with the benefit of hindsight, considering?
Of course it is. Of course it is, Frank, and I don't in any way underestimate the significant challenges of managing vulnerable prisoners, and a significant number of them are housed within our prisons who are vulnerable, who do need constant attention. But at the end of the day, there are, as I said, very difficult choices facing judges. What do? We have to keep the public safe. But here's also a situation where the individual themselves need to be protected from themselves.
I don't want to in any way sound flippant, because we're talking about the death of a very special family member to the family and to the O'Driscoll family. But I'm also visualising hardworking staff inside a prison who aren't mental health nurses. They are prison officers. So how much is expected of those prison officers when it comes to dealing with people who obviously have serious mental health problems?
Well, I have, as you know, I perform a dual role in relation to the inspection of prisons as well, and I have continually said that prison is not a therapeutic environment. It's very difficult to deliver really mental health services within a prison environment, and but the reality of it is that people are committed to the prison service for their safe custody and for their care. And it's incumbent upon the public services in the shape of the Northern Ireland Prison Service and the South Eastern Health and Social Care Trust to deliver what they can in, I would agree with you, sometimes very difficult circumstances. But we are talking about human life here, and so you know, we must do everything possible to try and improve their experience within the prison setting.
A nurse who was on duty in the vicinity of the prison round about the time that David came in, that nurse gets some recognition, some praise within the scenario, or am I right?
Absolutely, Frank. I think that that was a case of the nurse when the doctor had failed to prescribe medication, when she saw that he actually had empty prescription boxes and realized that there were certain drugs that he would have needed, that she contacted the out-of-hours doctor and received a prescription for certainly the most serious drugs that he would have needed. And in fact, the nurse was awaiting the senior officer to come and unlock the door to give him his medication when they actually found him.
And the doctor who hadn't prescribed medication, is that inside or outside the prison system?
That was inside the prison system. But once again, you know, this is a situation where, you know, doctors cannot simply prescribe without seeing the patient. So they rely then on the health records. And, you know, sometimes we're talking about people who don't keep appointments when they're in the community. And indeed, you know, there was clear evidence here that David had been receiving mental health treatment when he was in the community. But at the same time, he wasn't keeping appointments there either. So, I mean, I can understand that. I'm praising the nurse for using her initiative and ensuring that, you know, there was a prescription for him. The reality of it was, unfortunately, he didn't get access. He didn't get taken that medication. It was, and that's what happens within the prison environment. They have roles and profiles and things that they do that works to a routine. And it was only unlocking the cell to give him his medication that David was found.
And will any action be taken against anyone along the way here? Or indeed, is it just a learning curve for people working in the prison environment?
Well, certainly I've one of the recommendations in the investigation report was that the prison service should consider any performance issues that arise from this case. And once again, that's entirely appropriate for them to do that. So I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay. Brenton, it's a very sad story indeed, and our thoughts, as you mentioned, with David's family. Thank you for joining us. Brendan McGuigan, the prisoner ombudsman.